Moncrief on News Talk.
Time to bring in some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan De Burka Butler is our guide as ever. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, Dubai we're going to travel to first. Now, are they actually offering money to get people to visit? Or how is this working?
Benefits packages is what they're calling them. So this is called the Dubai Invite Scheme, right? And it's being run by the Department of the Economy and Tourism. And they're offering residents to nominate a friend or a relative to come and visit the country. They have to have a valid tourist visa. They can only be nominated once. And the person who's doing the inviting can invite up to three parties, if you know what I mean, right? Mm. And if they decide to come and they do all their things or whatever, they will offer the resident of Dubai 3,000 dirham, just over 3,000 dirham, which is the equivalent of 710 euros, which is quite significant amount of money. So it's basically an incentive scheme to attract tourists to come in, because the tourism sector, for obvious reasons, has fallen off a cliff there.
Imagine, because bombs raining down is probably going to off put.
It's not very attractive.
Yeah.
It's not the most attractive way of getting tourists in. Yeah. So I mean, ever since the US-Israeli war and Iran started, you know, the countries in and around the area have been drawn in, as we know. And back in February, there was missiles and drones were fired into Dubai, and it hit a hotel there, wasn't it? The Fairmont Hotel or something like that. So it has been affected, and obviously people don't want to go. I think numbers are down by about 50%. Some hotels have decided to shut and you know, bring renovations forward. The Burj Al Arab, which is the famous one there that looks like a sail.
The seven-star hotel.
Yeah, the seven-star hotel, which is actually, for a long time, it was run, I don't know if he still runs it, but it was run by a guy from Galway. Who studied down in Shannon. I interviewed him years ago, but that's a by the way.
Yes.
But they've decided to shut down for 18 months for major renovations there. So things like that are happening. But apparently there's a decent uptake so far now, according to local media. You've always got to take local media with a pinch of salt in that part of the world. But they say that within the first 48 hours, the scheme had attracted over 10,000 applicants. So it's an interesting one, but you've always got to bear in mind, you know, the population of the United Arab Emirates is about 11 million people, but 90% of them are not from there.
Yes.
So I suspect there might be a little bit of, oh, mum and dad, you know the way you've always wanted to come and visit me here. Why don't you come and visit and I'll get 710 quid out of it?
Yeah, I'll get 710 quid sent to you to pay for your tickets to actually come there.
Exactly.
Or for the insurance.
Exactly. But it should be said, well, the insurance is another factor, all right. But it should be said that there are hotels that are staying open that are offering huge discounts and that kind of thing. So it's an interesting scheme, but more than anything in the context of this particular slot, it's an indication of how bad things are.
And I assume they're relatively heavily dependent on tourism as well.
Well, they certainly have been selling it over the last few years as the place for the you know, the playboy capital of the world or whatever, you know what I mean? They got 20 million visitors, I think, in 2025. I don't know how that compares to Ireland. We get something like 11 million. That's just off the top of my head. I'm not sure. But 20 million visitors.
20 gazillion we get.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're the most popular.
Yeah, because everyone loves us.
Yes.
So, but they're calling it a benefits thing that involves. It's like Friends with Benefits, really.
Which is an
unfortunate title for a.
Well, indeed. Indeed. But I mean, so it's not direct cash into your bank account. It'll be like, you know, you can stay in this hotel or you can go out for dinner or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Okay.
Guinea,
we're going to go to next. And. A teenager was jailed for cheating on exams and then died.
It's a ridiculous story. This is the story of Mamadou Djuma Ba. He was a 17-year-old who on the 15th of July of this year was sitting down to do his baccalaureate, right, the school leaving exam that's used in many French-speaking countries. And apparently he was caught cheating, right? He was caught using his phone along with several of his friends, right? And they were kicked out of the exam. But what's ridiculous about this is that 2 days later, he was standing trial for cheating in a state exam. He was convicted and he was sentenced to 6 months in prison. Now, 5 months of that sentence were suspended, so he only had to do a month, but still ridiculous. You know, a 17-year-old kid cheats in an exam, gets sent to jail. It seems a bit harsh, to say the least. Now, in this particular instance, this particular individual, this boy, suffered from what's called sickle cell disease.
Yes.
Sickle cell disease is very prevalent in Africa, apparently.
Yeah, it's more genetically
yeah,
common.
Exactly,
among
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a faulty gene, basically, that produces unusually shaped red blood cells. They're the ones that apparently carry oxygen around the blood vessels and that kind of thing. So it can be very painful, but it's relatively manageable if you get past, depending where you live in Africa, obviously, and if you get past sort of 6 or 7 years of age. But it does mean that you're prone to infection, right? And what seems to have happened here is that while he was in prison, this was getting the better of him. He got some sort of an infection and he had to be transferred to hospital. He was in hospital for 2 days. They let him out. They said, you can go back home. He was discharged and he died at home, unfortunately. So obviously his father is very saddened by this and very angry. And he's basically blaming the authorities for the death of his son, both the education authorities, the judge that sent him to court, and the prison service who you know, didn't take into consideration his medical condition, which I'm sure must have been brought to their attention.
Yeah, at the time. Was he the only one to be jailed, or were the other kids caught cheating jailed as well?
The other kids who were caught cheating were jailed as well, and indeed the father has now sort of put a campaign together, which is not an easy thing to do in Guinea. Like, it's been a military dictatorship since 2021, and it wasn't ever the most open democracy in the world anyway. So he's putting his neck on the line here, basically, and he's organised protests. He was joined by students over the detention of these other students that were arrested, and he's looking for them to be brought out so nobody else dies as a result.
But of course, it's a military dictatorship, so there wasn't probably no specific legislation that criminalizes cheating at exams.
I can't answer that for sure, Sean, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Yeah. Guinea to Guyana, we're going to go to next. And this is the death toll from a ferry disaster.
Yeah. So this is Guyana, obviously in South America, in the north of South America, on the border with Venezuela and Suriname and places like that. It's the only English speaking country in South America, population of about 800,000 people.
Mm.
Now, you might remember a couple of years ago, they struck oil in about 2015. And they've become one of the fastest growing economies in the world, right? And the reason I'm mentioning that is that the ferry that was involved in this accident was built in 1939. So they probably need to look at updating their ferry services, right? So that's one aspect of this. So this is not last Saturday, but the Saturday before. It was carrying, this ferry was carrying 179 people from the capital, Georgetown, up north to Port Kaituma. And it was 8 hours into its journey when it was hit by a wave and it capsized, okay? Now, there's several things about this. Obviously, the age of the ship is one thing. But it seems that there were, as I said, 179 people on board, but there should have only been 133. That's the first thing.
Mm.
Two members of the crew were arrested, the captain and one crew member, and they tested positive for cannabis, which authorities now believe they were smoking while they were supposed to be, you know, looking after the boat.
Yeah.
There's a silver lining to this in that 76 people have been rescued, but the death toll at the moment stands at 72. And there's about, 30 people who aren't accounted for at this stage. And you'd have to think that they are have perished.
Yeah. And the fact that they've struck all, and I think there has been a fair amount of reporting about the unseemly haste in extracting this oil and perhaps environmental concerns, apart from the extraction of oil whatsoever, but that there's damage to the area, that there are permanent damage you're going to do by taking this oil out. Using old boats like this, ships like this, is that of a piece with all this massive development that's going on there?
No, I mean, this was a ferry boat, really. Okay, and in fact, the question was raised about how what kind of shape this boat was in, and that was answered sort of straight away. They said, "Well, look, it was dry docked in 2024, and any repairs that needed to be done were done, and it wasn't due to be dry docked again until later this year." So as far as the authorities are concerned, you know, the boat was in decent working condition.
Mm.
The problem was there was too many people on board.
Yeah.
And the guys who were supposed to be looking after it were smoking weed.
Yeah.
That's the avenue the investigation is going down at the moment.
Yeah.
Whether later on they look at the fleet and they sort of say, well, you know, we should probably invest in some newer ferries is another question that remains to be answered.
Okay, all right. We're going to go to Sweden next. And another story about a ship, though this one is even older than the one we were just talking about.
It's a replica. Yeah. It's a replica of one that was very old. So this is, have you seen the film The Odyssey?
No, not yet. No.
It's
no.
been reviewed on Music, Movies and Booze.
Oh, it has, yeah. And everyone says it's great.
Okay, really. So that's consensus, right? Yeah. So it's this epic movie that everybody thinks is great called The Odyssey, and there's been a lot of talk about it. But there's one group of volunteers in Sweden that aren't particularly happy with the makers of that particular movie. And these are the owners of a place called Vikingaleden, which is a non-profit Viking centre in Värmland in western Sweden, which I'm sure means warm land, in western Sweden, Sweden. And they were the owners of this replica Viking longship, okay, called the Glad av Gilberga, okay. And they rented it out for 6 months to the makers of the Odyssey. And the understanding was that if this ship got into trouble or if it was damaged, that Universal Studios would pay for it. Now, when the ship came back, there was damage to the mast and the stern, and the owners weren't particularly happy. Now, when I say owners, this is 200 volunteers who run this museum in their free time. So they did the repairs, or at least they paid for the materials to repair the damaged ship, and then they didn't charge for the voluntary labour, and they sent an invoice for $6,000 to Universal Studios, and they still haven't been paid. And they're annoyed enough about it to go to the media about it. They think they have a case, and it's getting a little bit of coverage, as you can imagine. Now, as far as Universal are concerned, they say that their records show that all invoices relating to the ship were paid in full, including repairs. The studio and the production, company have contacted the association to clear up any misunderstanding. So we'll see if they come to some sort of arrangement.
Now, I haven't seen The Odyssey. Have you seen
it? I haven't seen it yet. There's plans in my house to go and see it, but breweries and parties and breweries are easier to organise.
Yeah, well, indeed.
I don't think I can say the word.
As far as I understand, The Odyssey is set in Homeric times.
Yes.
Which is, you're going back 2,500 years. The Vikings were a bit more recent than that. So is there a bit of in historical terms, of an inaccuracy there?
I knew you were going to ask me that question, and of course I didn't research it. No, apparently there is some sort of similarity, but the article that I read said, or one of the articles that I read said there was some sort of similarity between the ships, but I sort of dismissed it, to be honest. As lazy journalism.
But then it just thought, no one will notice. There's only 1,000 years in the difference. Exactly. Right, okay, a very interesting story finally, given much of the conversations that we've been having in this country over the last week or so. And this is about road debts, but the global figures for road debts.
Yeah, it's a horrible theme and a horrible story, but
yes,
this is
course.
Positive news, obviously, in many respects. So it seems that, according to a recent report from the World Health Organization, that the rate of global road debts has dropped by 21% between 2011 and 2025, okay? Mm. So they're saying that the total number of road traffic deaths fell by 9%, but the death rate per 100,000 has dropped by 21%. So that's more significant because it factors in the rise in global population.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That 21 per one, or that figure per 100,000. They say that they are targeting a cut of 50%, right? So they have this decade of action for road safety, this policy that they're trying to bring in and roll out across the globe and get everybody to agree on. And they want to have global road deaths by 2030, okay? From that figure of 2000 and that would initially start in 2011. So while they're happy with the reduction, they're saying that we need to speed up the rate at which these road deaths are falling. I mean, there's still 1.2 million lives every year that are taken from road deaths across the world. And it's interesting because they're saying that the number of motorcycles, so the number of vehicles on our roads have gone up by 1 billion, apparently, in those 14 years. The number of motorcycles has tripled in those years, and the rise of delivery apps and that kind of thing. And they're saying that now motorcyclists now account for a third of global road fatalities. Interestingly, the progress around the world is very different. So while the drop in deaths is 36% in Europe, Africa has gone up by 17%.
Well, there's probably an increase in vehicles in Africa.
Yes, and not an aligned safety you know, safe rollout of safety measures, if you like.
Yeah. How interesting. But if the figure for Europe is a reduction of what,
36%?
36%. Yeah. That doesn't reflect very well on us then.
On us, no.
No, absolutely not. And apparently some countries have halved it by 50% in the last decade.
Yeah, ten countries have succeeded in reducing road deaths by 50%, while half of all countries reported falling fatalities in that period. Did I read somewhere that Helsinki last year had no road fatalities or something like that?
In the city, you're right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. But then again, they actively discourage cars going in there. Indeed. So that's probably part
of
the
reason. Well, it might be the way forward, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. Right, so what stories should we be looking out for this week?
Yeah, a few things coming up. Thursday, there's the by-election in Manchester as a result of Andy Burnham now being the Prime Minister. The same country, really. Also this week, there's the Booker long list is out tonight.
Yeah.
And then the...
I think it actually already came out.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, there's one Irish writer on it.
Ah, okay, I missed that. Okay, yeah. And then the Mercury Prize nominees are out on Thursday as well. Sometimes some Irish interest in that as well. And also keep an eye on these wildfires in Europe.
Yeah.
They seem to be not stopping. They're talking about increased temperatures later in the week as well.
Yeah,
so very, very worrying.
Jonathan, thanks a million.
Thanks,
as ever. Jonathan DeBurker Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.